sisters, come together now, come together now. It's time to help each other out, help each other out.
Welcome to the SOAR Podcast. This is a platform for sisters to gather and have some empowering conversations. And in the process of these conversations, we help each other overcome some limiting beliefs. I want you to join the conversation. I appreciate your likes, subscribes, and comments. This podcast is sponsored by Stephanie Brown Coaching. If you have any limiting beliefs that are holding you back, feel free to contact the coach at sociotap.com/StephBrownMD. Good evening and welcome to SOAR, Yinka.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me.
I am so excited to have you here. And I just wanted to welcome my guests also to our SOAR podcast. The topic that we're discussing is belonging unscripted, navigating spaces with confidence. Yeah.
Yep.
I think this is one that we can all relate to because at some point in our lives, we've all felt like we didn't belong or we were in a space where we didn't feel so confident. So I'm really excited about this conversation.
Me too.
And I would love to introduce you to my wonderful guest, who I think is the absolute best person for this conversation. So I'm just going to read a little bit of her bio. This is Yinka Freeman. She is the owner of Triple Pocket Events. She's a seasoned event planner with over 15 years of experience. Her expertise is in event planning, coordination, and design has allowed her to create unique and dynamic experiences that leave a lasting impression. And I will attest to that. She did an event for me for a New Year's Eve party, and it was an absolute blast. It was during the COVID year. It was awesome.
Thank you.
With a think outside the box approach, Yinka flawlessly executes concepts for events of all sizes, including virtual experiences. Known for her keen eye for detail, creative imagination, and contagious enthusiasm, Yinka thrives in producing mission and value-driven experiences. Her coordination style is influenced by her extensive background in national and international hospitality, restaurant and catering management, and sales. Throughout her career, Yinka has worked for companies such as the Rock and Roll Marathon Series, Hilton Hotels, Wyndham Hotel Group, and behind-the-scenes catering and events. Outside of her work, Yinka enjoys traveling and embracing nature. She can often be found exploring local hotspots, discovering attractions, or unwinding on the beach with her dog, Rose. So I know I read your bio, but I always like to start the conversation off by just asking you to share your story. And how did you come to be someone who can talk about this topic?
Thank you for that. So just like Dr. Stephanie read, I am an event planner, event producer. And honestly, someone asked me once the reason I started Triple Pocket Events. And I said, because I do not find other people in my industry that look like me. So there is a need. So I started Triple Pocket Events because of that. And that's really the basis of my story. A lot of things that I do in my life is because I see, when I don't see somebody who looks like me, there's a problem. And if I can be the one to fix the problem or at least push the needle a little bit to start fixing the problem, then I'm going to do it. So that is my story in a whole. I saw a need. Like you read in my bio, I've worked for all kinds of different companies, all kinds of different roles I've done as well. And I've been the only one, the only Black person, the only Black woman. And I was tired. I was tired of it. So in a nutshell, really, that is my story. I just wanted to really do something that, first of all, I was passionate about. And then also, we need to be seen. So I wanted people who look like me to be seen.
Yeah, I love that. I think a lot of us find ourselves in spaces where we're the only one, which is perfect for this topic of, you know, being comfortable in whatever spaces we find ourselves in. So kudos to you for deciding to have more Black people, more Black women in the event industry. As we were talking, you know, we met ahead of time to talk about this topic. I got really excited because of your passion and the fact that you really have something to share in this space. So I just wanted to just kind of ask you the open-ended question. What does it mean to you to belong unscripted?
To me, belonging unscripted is the most free you could ever be. It is your most liberated self, your most, I know people say, you know, be your authentic self, but it really is. It's being your most truest self. There's no apologies. There's no excuses. You are just who you are. You know your purpose. You know why you were put here on this earth. And that's it. That is belonging unscripted. You don't have to follow anybody's timeline, what they're doing, who they're doing it with. You just need to follow you. Follow you. Do what you want to do.
Yeah. Have you always felt like you were just free to be your most free self, authentic, unscripted? Or is that something you grew into?
I wish I could have said, yes, I've always felt that way, but no, it's definitely something that has taken years of practice, of understanding, of really knowing myself. Mm-hmm. And so I'm gonna tell everybody my age. I know I look like a baby, but I am 41, so I'm in my early 40s. And I am just being unscripted. It has just started for me because through my 20s, through my 30s, it was a lot of learnings, you know, how to be a woman, how to be a Black woman, how to be a Black woman in America. I was born in Sierra Leone, so that's a whole cultural norm too. So it was a lot of that and like figuring out how all these different parts of me can really be so positive. So it took me quite some time to really get to that point where I was just, yes, I'm from Sierra Leone. Yes, I'm a planner. Yes, I'm Black. And it took lots and lots of yes, but yes in my mind, not outward yes. I really had to sit with myself and become so comfortable with myself to get to this point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's really interesting because a lot of people, I remember when I was in my 30s, people telling me, when you get to your 40s, you will not care what anybody else thinks. You're just going to be unscripted. And I think it probably took me a little longer into my 40s. It wasn't like I thought it was just going to be a snap, but it took me a little longer. But I definitely resonate with a lot of what you're saying. When we met recently, you shared that your business is going really well and that you have employees and other people that you're responsible for. And as a fairly new entrepreneur, and I know some of the other entrepreneurs, we sort of dream of the day where our business is going really well and we have employees and there's more work than what we can handle. But in order to get to that space, you have to occupy a lot of spaces that may not feel comfortable at first. So professionally, what has been your journey to getting to having this successful business and occupying those spaces? And if you have a funny or poignant story that kind of really illustrates that point, do share.
So I started Triple Pocket in October of 2019, right before the pandemic hit. Yeah. So the business is 4 years old, but in my mind, we're 2 years old just because of the crazy that we all live through. And it's just been a really great journey, really building it up. Your question, though, it made me kind of chuckle inside a little bit because I take up so much space. I'm always in spaces I don't belong in. Or I think I don't belong in. And that's what I want. I want to make that difference clear that it's not that I don't belong in those spaces. I think I don't belong in those spaces. And so I had to do a lot of force. I used to force myself to go to networking events that I didn't think, well, who's going to, this? It's a C-level. I'm not a C-level. I'm just, you know, here planning events. But I would force myself to go to those spaces. And belong in those spaces, because if you don't force yourself to be in those spaces, you just get comfortable in your own little space. People are always like, think out of the box, right? Get out of the box. And for this case, yes, you do need to get out of that box and go to those spaces where you do not belong. Occupy those spaces. When people say, Yinka, this is for C-level execs. What do? Proudly say what you do and why you are there. And doing that and practicing that, that really, really led me to where I am today, where I can go anywhere I want and, you know, into all these different places where I feel like I don't belong. And I have just trained myself, forced myself, tricked myself into saying, yes, you do. You do belong there. Stories. Oh, man. So this kind of, I'm going to tell a general story because it just encompasses so much. So when I worked for Rock and Roll, I ran their the VIP department for Rock and Roll, and I would travel to all different cities and put on VIP events. And that meant all cities, all cities. And I live in San Diego. That's a very different city, but some of the cities, you know, some of those southern cities were very eye-awakening for me as somebody who did not grow up in America. And one comes to mind where I walked into a store, and Stephanie, if like the world had ended, it was because I walked into that. The looks, I mean, it was, I just never felt so focused on before, you know, but I sure did. I needed to get champagne. So I walked my little butt into that store, got my champagne, and I just started talking to people as they were looking, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, I'm here for the Rock and Roll Marathon. I'm doing the VIP, blah, blah, blah. And it kind of eased people a little bit. But that story always sticks out in my mind because it was just such a profound moment for me to just have everyone just stop when you walk into a store.
It almost sounds like a movie scene. I can imagine it being shot as a movie scene where everybody just kind of stops, you know, mouth open, fork here, just like, who is she and why? Yep. And that is a testament to you really just kind of owning the space that you decided to talk to people, because, you know, some people would be like, let me get my champagne. Let me be as small as I can be. Let me hightail it out of here. But choosing to be there and communicate and talk to people, that's a pretty brave choice.
Yeah. Often.
Yeah. I appreciate you sharing that story. I think a lot of us can relate to that. Another thing that you shared when we talked was that this is not just a professional thing for you, but this is part of your lived experience personally as well. Mm-hmm. So how have you been able to be unscripted and own spaces in your personal life?
For me, being unscripted really did start for me personally, because I personally decided that I wanted to know myself really well on a really personal level. So I took that journey on my own to really getting to know myself, what makes me tick, how do I react to different situations, things like that. And that really helped navigate into the professional world. And I personally have an amazing support system. I have friends that I have had since high school that have really seen me just flourish, grown into the person that I am today. And I do check-ins with my friends regularly just to make sure that I'm still on a good path. So, you know, whether that's having a monthly, you know, call with somebody, or just calling them whenever you are unsure of yourself, having that support system that just knows you so well and has that outside perspective really, really helped me personally. And it really made me so much more confident on the person that I am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I love what you said about just taking the time to get to know yourself. I think sometimes we are in such a hurry to get to know other people and to achieve goals and to, you know, create a life that we don't really just like savor the opportunity to kind of get to know ourselves.
Yeah, we really don't. And us as Black women really don't. A couple of years ago, I decided that I just wanted to spend a week by myself, just by myself. So I rented a van and I left. I did not have any destination, but I just wanted to test myself and make sure I could do that. You know, and I know us as Black women, sometimes we just don't have those opportunities, but really doing something like that, testing yourself, just pushing yourself, you really get to know who you are, your core. That trip really personally helped me just become so confident in the person that I am.
I am so intrigued. Did you know? Did you know where you were going when you rented the van?
No. Okay. All I knew was I wanted to drive up highway. I think it's 395 in California. It goes all the way into Northern California, into the mountains. And so I rented it and I just got a GPS and I stopped at different campsites. I asked people around. I asked some of my friends who were familiar with some areas, but that's it. And I camped, went to campsites and got stuck in the snow. I had to have a townspeople come pull me out of the snow.
Wow. That is pretty cool. I can imagine that you get to know yourself pretty well on a trip like that. So did you talk to people or, you know, social, or were you on like a social media socializing fast during this trip?
I did put things on social media. I did talk to people as well, just people next to campsites next to me. So I did this in December, which is not a popular way for camping. So, but it was great though, because there were not a lot of people around me and that's what I wanted. But I just, in my head, the universe was going to send me the people that I needed to meet on that trip. And I 100% fully believe that, because some of the people I met were just, there would have never been an occasion for us to ever interact. And we did. And it was just such a freeing experience. And of course, everyone's like, what's this Black girl doing by herself camping? So it made people, you know, come over and check and things like that. But when they did, we would have really great conversations about what I'm doing, where I'm going. They would tell me where else to go in the area. And that's how I did that week.
That's really cool. I love that. I might have to think about doing something. Definitely not in December. I'm not a cold weather person, but maybe another time of the year.
Yeah.
So this podcast is Sisters Overcoming and Rising. And my intention is to build sisterhood and celebrate sisterhood amongst Black women. But if we're being honest, sometimes even in spaces where we're with other Black women, we don't always feel like we belong, or we don't always feel like we can be our most authentic self. And I know you mentioned being from Sierra Leone. Mm-hmm. And have you had any experiences like that where you were with other Black women and didn't feel like you belonged? And how did you navigate that?
Yes, I've had many. For me, for a long time, it came down to I'm not Black enough, huh? It was a lot of that. Like, I would be like, oh, I'm not Black enough. Oh, okay. But then I'm like, what is Black enough? Right. What is the definition of a Black woman? We're all different. And so once I understood that, it really made it a lot easier for me to step into those places. There was quite a lot of fear, actually. I didn't know if I was going to get judged and things like that. And so I would play up all these things in my head before I even entered the space. And so I just really worked on that. What is a Black woman? I would literally ask myself all the time, what is a Black woman? You know, I have women around me that are Black that are my friends. We are all so different. What makes one person more Black than the other? Mm-hmm. And so I just worked hard on getting that thought out of my head. And that really, really helped. And then I started aligning myself with other Black women that I felt like could be my mentors and really making the decision to be friends with them and be in their spaces and start going to spaces where they are. My friend and I from high school, we went to Essence Fest this year, and I took her to Essence Fest because I know we both kind of struggle with the, are we Black enough? Because, you know, we both, for the most part, had the same upbringing. We grew up in different African countries. And so I just thought, what is the best way to just belong, make yourself belong, then go to a festival with what, 10,000 other Black women, you know, like, so that's what we did. And that was so great because for me, gosh, first of all, Black women, we are beautiful. Absolutely. But I just got to have experiences with so many different kinds of Black women. Mm-hmm. And it just, for me, that was it. I was like, I belong in every space. Every space. It doesn't matter to me.
Yeah. One of the things that I'm starting to hear from you is this theme of kind of like taking it to the extreme, right? Even with the van trip, just doing the extreme thing. It's kind of like when you just don't know how to swim and you jump in the deep end. And the same thing with this Essence Fest. Okay. So I'm trying to figure out why I have this feeling of not belonging as well. Well, let me go to the festival that sort of epitomizes Black women, where there are going to be thousands of Black women, and just kind of jump in the deep end. And it's so interesting that you came out of those experiences confident in yourself and then confident in who you are as a Black woman.
It's very liberating. And I know I said that with the first question, what it means, but it really is, because for me, it shocks my system, my brain, my core, everything. My entire body is put into shock. And just like the van life, I come out being like, well, I did it. Okay. All these thoughts that were swarming around in my head that were making me think I couldn't or I don't belong, I belong. I was there. Nothing happened. You know, so that's my process in this whole thing.
Yeah, I think that that's a really cool process. I know, you know, other Black women who have had that experience of feeling like they don't belong. And I know some of them just choose to not associate with other Black women. They just choose to go where they feel like they belong, where they feel invited. And so the fact that you really just embraced it and kind of took the chance to just kind of navigate that shows a lot of courage. Again, I think we're kind of back to that courage thing. But was there anything specifically that made you feel like you didn't belong?
It was more the way I was brought up, my upbringing, or where I was raised, and moving to America and establishing a business, being here, really recognizing that I'm Black. Because other people told me, you know, really recognizing it, but then not feeling Black enough when I'm in those Black spaces. It was just so confusing to me. And I didn't know how to understand those two feelings. Like, yes, I'm Black. I know I'm Black. But the way I grew up is so different than from many other Black women that I meet. How do I navigate those two? How do I make those two fit? Mm-hmm. And the way that I made those two fit for me was really honoring the fact that I did not grow up here and educating people on where I grew up, how I was raised, what my culture is. That really helped me it was basically my elevator pitch. Mm-hmm. For the most part, when I would enter these spaces. And I used that elevator speech over and over until I just felt comfortable enough to say, girl, you belong here. What are you doing? What is, again, what is Black? What is being Black? So.
Right. Well, it looks like somebody else, you're not alone. Somebody else has been there and had that experience. And I think that we just have to talk about it. Sometimes we just assume that everybody's experience is like ours, and it's it's not true. And once we talk about it, then we find that other people have experiences and it makes them feel validated in their experience.
Exactly.
So I would love to know what lessons you have learned that you would like to share about navigating spaces with confidence. This confidence theme, I feel like, comes up a lot, and would love to hear the lessons that you've learned.
Number one lesson is that you belong everywhere, everywhere. That's been the number one lesson for me. Very, very liberating, you know, to just be you and know that you belong everywhere. Not being a token or not thinking that you are a token is another lesson. That was a huge learning for me. Once I got comfortable in some of these spaces, I started thinking I was the token Black fill the blank in. And that took some time to get over, especially because what I found is the more you belong, the more you get invited. Funny how that works, right? And so when I was getting invites of some of these other higher level, you know, companies and invites to do events and things like that, I started thinking that it was because I was the only Black person at that one place I went to. So now they're going to be like, oh, Yinka can go to here. And I had to overcome that and say, no, it's not because you're the only Black person. It is because there is something in you that they see, that they want to be around, or that they want other people to be around. So I would say those three are like my top lessons of how I've navigated being unscripted.
Mm-hmm. You know, in this conversation that we've been having, a lot of what you're saying has been about your internal mental battle, that this whole concept of belonging is really something that we have to overcome within ourselves. And I think that that is true, because what you, the last thing you said about once you start going and you start showing up and you're there and you're on, you know, you're unapologetic, you're unscripted, then that invites the next opportunity and the next opportunity. So once we kind of get out of our own way to say, okay, I belong here, I'm going to go, even if it doesn't feel comfortable at first, I think that it starts to feed into a positive cycle.
Yeah, the mind can be very, very powerful. And so you really do need to start with yourself first and get so confident, so comfortable in who you are. Because then you just walk through that door all like, I know, I got this, or, you know, whatever you do to pop yourself up. You can just say that in your mind over and over and over again.
Yeah, yeah. I know I have this song that I play when I need to pump myself up, and it's All I Do Is Win. And it's and that just kind of like pumps me up, and I need to go into a situation where I need to feel confident. And then you can always try the van method that Yinka just described. For a week off into the mountains by yourself. You'll be real confident when you come back. So another thing that came up a lot when we were talking about this topic as we were preparing for the interview is this theme of being fearless. You said that multiple times. And I do a lot of work for myself on trying to become fearless and become more fearless, because it's an iterative thing, right? You get to the point where you're fearless, and then at this next level, there's a whole new set of fears that you haven't dealt with before. So then you have to become fearless again. And I work with a lot of my coaching clients on that. But I'm curious to hear your thoughts about being fearless as it relates to this topic.
For me, being fearless is really more of a journey of self-discovery. So the more, once again, the more you know yourself, but it's also really about being vulnerable. Mm-hmm. You know, I know you and I, fierce vulnerability. So it really is. It's really just allowing yourself to be vulnerable in situations, because you come out of those situations, you're still you. You're still authentic and you're fearless because you've been able to handle whatever was stopping you, whatever was in your head, whatever was not making you confident. All of that makes you fearless. Mm-hmm. All of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This topic of vulnerability is just like, I think it's such an important topic, especially for us as Black women, because there have been so many times in most of our lives where we were told not to be vulnerable, or we intuitively knew that it wasn't a safe space for us to be vulnerable. And so now we're at this point in our lives where we're trying to shift into this other direction where we're not the strong Black woman who never let them see you cry, never let them see you sweat, you know, where we're trying to enter this space where we can be authentic and vulnerable. And it's just tough. It's a tough transition. And there's still some spaces that are not safe for us to be fully vulnerable or fully authentic. So then that takes another level of, you know, judgment. You know, is this a place where, you know, as a leader in my profession, is this a place where I can be vulnerable, and how vulnerable can I be? So I don't know if you, how do you know when it's okay to be vulnerable, or what level of vulnerability that you can go to?
Oh man. Okay. There's no way to know. Mm-hmm. There's no way to know. We just have to do it. Is what I have to say to that question. And I say that we just have to do it because, like you said, it's, you know, us as Black women, there's really that movement to be not the strong Black woman anymore, you know, to show that there's emotions and depression, we get anxiety, all of that we get. And so I personally feel like Black women are doing a really great job of being vulnerable. Right now, I follow so many social media accounts that are ran by Black women that talk about how to express your emotions. So for me, I think be vulnerable, but also know how to navigate that space when maybe you are a little too vulnerable, or, you know, you're not allowed to be as vulnerable. But I definitely think that you can always be vulnerable. I don't think that should stop anybody if they think that this is a space that you can't be vulnerable, but maybe there's a level of vulnerability that you show at that point. Comes back to knowing yourself too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think being mature enough to accept the consequences, right? And knowing that whatever it's worth leaning into your authenticity and being vulnerable, because you have a lot to gain. You stand a lot to gain from doing that. And sometimes there may be something to lose, right? Sometimes you might overshoot. Sometimes someone may have a negative reaction, but that's not your fault. That's not your burden. That's whatever, you know, they're not able to be vulnerable, but it still may have some consequences. Yeah. And just realizing that, you know, it's all a part of life and it's all a part of your journey.
It's a lesson learned, right? And you can take those lessons and improve and make yourself better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I feel like I do that a lot. Now, we talked a lot about, we talked about belonging in the sense of professional spaces and going into rooms with C-suite executives. And we talked about it from the personal perspective and relationships. Which one do you think is harder, the professional or the personal?
I think the personal is harder because to work on yourself is a lot of work. To actively work on yourself is a lot of work. And because to me, the personal bleeds into the professional, you know, because I said you have to personally know yourself in order to be so confident to walk into that professional space that you don't think you belong to. So I think for me, it's definitely personal. And working on yourself is consistent. It's constant. I'm even to this day, I'm consistently finding things that I didn't know about myself a little bit ago. And I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense. It's a consistent thing. So the personal for me is definitely what I think is a lot more difficult.
Yeah. I think I agree that the personal is more difficult also, because sometimes I feel like personally I feel like I have more to lose in relationships or in my personal life. I mean, professional, there's a lot there, but you know, you can always figure out a navigate a different professional path. But personal, that's like, that's your life, right? Yeah, that's your life. Yeah. So you don't really want to mess that up. Oh. Now, I would love to hear more about Triple Pocket events. It's been a while since we interacted with the New Year's Eve party. So what are the services that you offer? What are some of the exciting things that you have coming up? Just, I'd love to hear lots.
Okay. So Triple Pocket is a full service event production company. I used to say planning, but we have just done so much more this year that has really led us to that next level of event production. So we're a full service event production company. Basically, what that means is that we can handle every single aspect of your event. We can handle it from getting hotels, from doing bookings, from entertainment, from building sets or any necessary production or AV. We handle all of that. And I love it, if you can't tell, because it's really a lot of the different skills from different positions that I've had in the industry. It really allows me to put those skills to work. And it really allows me to bring on others that, number one, look like me, and then others that might not get a chance to work for a big, full-on event production company, maybe because they're queer, they're trans, you know, all of those different reasons. I bring those people in to Triple Pocket to work with me on different events. So we do live events, hybrid and virtual events as well. We do all three. Some of the events that we did this year was the one that sticks out in my mind because it just ended was the New Children's Museum Gala. So they have their annual fundraiser gala. This year it was the Magic Treehouse themed. So we blocked off a city block. It was in the museum. We had books built as the entryway into the museum. We had plants hanging from all kinds of ceilings and things like that. We crafted the trunk of a tree. They had a really not so nice looking air conditioning vent in the VIP area. So we actually crafted this material that looks like bark and wrapped it around so it looked like it was the tree trunk. Yeah. And things like that, as you can, if you can't tell, I get so passionate about doing creative things like that. But in a nutshell, that is what Triple Pocket does. It's a full service event production company. It's based in San Diego, but we do travel internationally and nationally as well.
Now, that is amazing. And yes, production. That sounds like a production. You build sets. That sounds so cool. How many attendees were at that gala?
The gala had about 350 attendees.
Okay. What's the largest event that you've done?
So the largest I've done is actually really funny because it's virtual. It's 30,000 people. Virtual is the largest that Triple Pocket has done. We do a lot of Pride events. So San Diego Pride is one of my biggest clients. Pride as a whole is about 50,000 people. Triple Pocket does all of the beverages, the bars for San Diego Pride.
Wow. Awesome. That is really exciting. Thank you so much. It was great to hear about that and to hear your passion when you're talking about it. So one of the things that I ask all of my guests is like, what limiting beliefs? And I feel like we probably talked about a few of them, but what limiting beliefs did you have to overcome in order to get where you are today? To feeling that you belong everywhere, as one of our guests said, navigating spaces with confidence and having a business that can host a, you know, event with 30,000 people.
I'm not good enough. I think imposter syndrome is something that everybody suffers from, including me. But for me, it was a lot of, I'm not good enough. Like, who's going to hire me? No, who's going to, no. Why am I getting an invite to go to this hotel opening? Where do they find me? A lot for a very long time. I was always asking, where did they find me? How do you know about what? You know, like, it was a lot of that. And I'm like, somebody told them about you because you're amazing. You know, or they researched and, you know, they sought after you. So instead of me saying, how do they find me? And she's like, you sought after me. That was such a limiting belief, like, for me. But once I switched to, oh, they're seeking me. Okay. That really, really helped combat that. I talked about the token that was very much a limiting belief for me. And it was for the most part because I was the only Black mm-hmm. in a job. I was the only for so many years that it was just hard to overcome that thought mm-hmm. process. But I found once I stepped out of those spaces where I felt like I was the only one and made spaces where I could bring those other people with me, it was just a game changer. That just changed everything. And that's really where I am now.
Yeah, I love that. The whole concept of creating your own spaces, right? Wherever it is, whether it's a professional space or a personal space, but, you know, if there's a limiting belief that you're the only one, I mean, there's reason for it because everywhere you are the only one. So create spaces where you're not.
Yeah.
I love that. I love
bring that. Those with you. Stephanie, you talked about something for an event that I produced a while back, and it was about sisters uplifting sisters or something to that effect, about sisterhood. It was about sisterhood. Mm-hmm. And you said, lift as you rise. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't think you saw me because I was on the back end of things producing, but I had written that on, I wrote that down on a post-it note and I just stuck it on my desk, on my wall, in my office for about a year. Mm. And then I got it right here.
Oh my goodness.
And I look at, that has been, you don't know this, but that has been one of the most profound statements, I think, in the 4 years I've owned Triple Pocket. So I create these spaces and I lift as I rise.
That is beautiful. Oh, wow. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure I share that with you on here.
Oh, that's awesome. I love everything that you're doing. So please tell us how we can support, follow, hire, all the things.
First thing is you can follow me. So on Instagram, it's Yinka Genevieve. My professional Triple Pocket is at Triple Pocket Events. The website is triplepocketevents.com. On the website, you can see all of the different types of events that I do, that I've done. You can also get in contact with me by filling out the contact us form on the website as well. I'm also on LinkedIn, Yinka Freeman on LinkedIn. And like I said, I'm growing. I want to be one of the forefront Black women-owned production companies in America. So you can support me by sending me business. linking me with others as well is a great way to support me. I am big on knowledge sharing, knowledge gaining. So you can definitely link up with me there. I also do speak as well. I've been asked and I started doing that. And that's something that I really love. So you can also. And yes, you will.
Yes, I affirm with the listener. Yes, you will. I'm totally here with you for that. So, and count me as part of your support system.
Thank you.
thank you so much for sharing all of your enthusiasm and your knowledge and your experience with us. This has been a great conversation and I look forward to the next one.
Me too. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for conquering those limiting beliefs on another episode of the SOAR podcast. If you want to reach out to my guest, just check out the show notes and all of the contact information is there. If you want more information about Stephanie Brown Coaching, go to www.stephaniebrowncoaching.com. And I'm sure you're already following the SOAR podcast Instagram page. But if not, just go to IG and type in Sisters Overcoming and Rising, all one word. Goodbye for now. Thank you.